reading. But this seemed, start reading, I just tell you the scripture and start reading. But this seemed to need a little bit of explanation for the setting. It happens that Simon Peter has been summoned by Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion. Simon Peter has been summoned to Caesarea, to Cornelius's home. And these words that I'm going to read come from Acts 10, beginning with verse 44. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So back when I planned this series, I felt this God, this calling, I felt God calling me toward this movement of the Spirit in this passage. Right, just like you see in the title to this sermon, "Let the Spirit Work," that felt like the calling to me. I had been reading through the lectionary passages, all of these Acts passages that we have been going through, and I landed on this series theme of healing in the resurrection by which we are healed. And honestly, as I read this passage, I struggled, because to me, I didn't readily see the healing of the Spirit that was necessary, or the healing of the resurrection that was in this passage. Not to say it's not there, but I was having trouble connecting the dots. And so I was like, well, maybe that theme doesn't work with all of these passages, God. Maybe you're calling me to something else. But I think, as we all know, God is relentless. Because I think now more than ever, healing is something we very desperately need. I think healing within the Spirit's movement as well. In these final weeks, we've moved from these stories, these proclamations of the witness of the resurrection, to now these tangible examples of people living this witness out in their lives. The healing that the resurrection brings to us together as the church, as the body of Christ for the world. And as I looked at this passage and I began to prepare this series, this sermon months ago, I honed in, continued to hone in on the Spirit working within us, working within the life of the church. I began to see the threads connecting the healing that we are seeking in Christ's resurrection with this work of the Holy Spirit that we are being drawn towards, as we are now just a couple of weeks away from Pentecost. And it exists in that question that we heard in this passage and that we heard last week in this passage in verse 47, when Peter asked, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing?" Just like Philip's encounter with the Ethiopian last week, the question stands in stark reality of the true role that we play in faith. Who are we to withhold the waters of baptism, the life that flows forth from God's grace, God's Spirit that flows all throughout creation? When I was on my ordination journey back in 2019, when I was going before the Board of Ordained Ministry for my final ordination interviews, and friends, I was a wreck. Ask Sarah. One of the committees that we go before is called Leadership and Vocation. It is a committee that, like the name entails, focuses on your, surprise, surprise, leadership and vocation. reflecting on the many facets that go into ministry. How do I lead as a pastor? How do I conduct this role? How do I live into this call to help to order the life of the church? Not just the local church, but the global church. And one of the questions that I got, it's really one of the only questions from this interview. Not that I wasn't paying attention in the interview, friends. Don't worry, I have gotten the soul for... They found me acceptable. But one of the questions that has always stuck out to me and that rung through my head as I finalized my sermon preparations was a question I received from a person who at the time was not but is now a district superintendent. And he asked me, oh, no, it was not by him. It was by somebody else, a dear friend of mine. She asked me, pastors are often considered to hold the Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other. How do you reconcile both of these as you preach and lead within your local congregation? Now, friends, you know, I have ADHD, so I had already started to form my answer as soon as the pastor word had come out of her mouth. I had already begun to think of what it means for pastors to be able to not just see the Bible as a source of inspiration, but also as a grounding of God's word that I preach. And then to also view the context of the world that is around us and the way God's word continues to flow in and through each and every one of us. I noted the importance of recognizing my position as your pastor, that as I preach God's word, I do just that. I look for the word that God gives me. And I look for the situations that are happening around us that help us to speak, to testify, and to witness to the resurrection that is happening each and every day in our midst. My role as a pastor is to help the church and the people within it to connect the gospel to their daily lives in anything and everything that that means for us. Basically, we all sit in this space of seeking the movement of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. When we look in this passage and we see the actions of what is happening between Peter and the people in Cornelius's house, thank you so much, Cindy, for offering that background information. I had it in my sermon and now you allow me to skip right over it because you offered it for them. It is the work of the Spirit that Peter knows that causes him to ask this question.
It's going.
Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Hear what's not being said in that, friends. Peter's not only asking who can withhold the waters of baptism. Peter is acknowledging that he has no control over the Holy Spirit. Peter is acknowledging that nobody has control over the Holy Spirit. As we seek to exist as people of the church, as people of God, as the kingdom of heaven, our role is to let the Spirit work. Our role is to flow through ourselves, creating this space, as we talked about a few weeks ago, for God to do God's work through us. Our role is to notice in the world, in the church, in our communities, where God's Holy Spirit is working, the work of God that is happening all around us. Our role is that as we go forth, as we do the ministry that God is calling us to do, that we open ourselves up for the Spirit to work where we are. The fun thing about this is that Peter does this. Philip does this. When we see the way that they are called into these situations, Peter is called and told to go to Caesarea, to go and visit Cornelius. This is also where we get that great vision of Peter with the sheep coming down from heaven. And this is where we begin to get this understanding and we see this debate beginning in the early church of what is the place of Gentiles within our community. Because this is still very much a Jewish-centered faith. And yet, as Peter And those with him begin to gather, and they see the work that is happening in the house of Cornelius.
Amen.
Much like the question that the eunuch asks of Philip, here is water, what is preventing me from getting baptized? We do not need the answer. The answer is in the action. That we see that Peter does not answer the question, but the next verse tells us that Peter goes and he baptizes those in the house of Cornelius. Let the Spirit work. I preach this sermon, and it's always interesting how the lectionary seems to get it right. I'm not going to lie, I never put two and two together until about Friday night when the word of the Lord spoke to me. When I was putting this series together, I did not know and I did not connect that this would be the Sunday that would succeed the General Conference of the United Methodist Church. Yet it's funny how it works out. That this verse that we have in front of us, this verse where Peter is opening himself up to God's Spirit moving in their midst.
Amen.
And as we look and we see the church that now sits in front of us, many of you may not be familiar with all the information. Again, if you are interested, there is a little leaflet on your way out, and there will be informational sessions. And I do this from the pulpit, expressing the word that God has given me, because I truly believe that God has given me a word that I think they want you to hear. There are many who are happy about what happened to General Conference. There are many who are upset at what happened at General Conference. There are many who have already left. There are many who will continue to leave. There are many who cannot reconcile the decisions that were made. As we came off the heels of the General Conference in 2019, we were placed in a somewhat similar situation of grief filling the process of how we are called to respond. As we see most of the decisions that were made, friends, we're not going to agree. There are places in the book of discipline that are sometimes tough for us to look at, because we think they do not fit into our framework of what we think is happening. And yet, what I saw at General Conference and what I see in many of the decisions that were made was room for the Spirit to work. I saw a global church that gathered together, that praised, that worshiped, that celebrated. I saw language cease to become a barrier. I saw joyous shouts of praise. I saw people coming together trying to find the common ground that they could agree on, so that when they went into the context of ministry that surrounds them, they could minister to God's people. I saw decisions made that none of us, all of us, any of us will agree with. But what I saw was a church that was willing to sit within that hard space of difficult decisions and to create space for the Spirit of God to work. When someone leaves this community, there is grief. There is heartache, and there is a difficulty for your pastor to reconcile what that means for us.
Thank you.
There is now a connotation that comes with the United Methodist Church that many are just going to struggle with. Friends, I do not want to see anybody leave. I understand there are differences, and yet my hope is that within this local church community, we would be like Peter in the house of Cornelius. It's interesting to see how the church blossomed at this time. When we look in these opening verses of the, or when we look in these chapters in the book of Acts, we see a church wrestling with their identity, wrestling with who they are, wrestling with what it means to be Christian. And I think that we see in every way, shape, and form that when they ground themselves in the witness of the resurrection, the healing that takes place moved beyond anything that we could ever desire. It moves beyond the physical. It moves beyond the literal. It moves beyond what we think should happen. And it gives space for God to work. I do not want you to look at me for what I believe. Just as I do not look or judge any of you for what you believe. All I am asking, as we move forward together as a community, that we let the Spirit work. We let the Spirit of God work in and through each and every one of us. This passage opens us up to so much. It creates within us an understanding of how we can lead and be the church together. And flipping just five chapters ahead into Acts 15, we see the discussion of the early church and the Council of Jerusalem debating what it means for Gentiles to be a part of faith.
Yeah, I know.
Ultimately landing on the decision of knowing and seeing God's Spirit work. For who, Peter asks, can deny baptism to these folks? We sit here receiving God's Spirit, receiving everything that God offers to us. We create the space for the Spirit to work in and through us. It does not mean we're writing a blank check for these things to happen. It does not mean that we are openly, that we are forced to do anything. All it means is that we are creating space to see what happens, to discern what truly is God's calling for the people of Christ in 2024, in 2025. For the next generations to come. We are a church sitting in a precarious place, watching the pain of disagreement devastate us because we think we know what is right. Friends, I call us to be more intentional, to reflect, to discern where that Spirit is leading, is guiding, is working within this community. I urge you into conversation with one another, with me, throughout our church, that we may learn and grow together. I ask, as you engage in conversation, that you let the Spirit work in that conversation. You do not allow your understandings to color the way that you see the person that is sitting across from you. Friends, the last thing we want to do is destroy the community that has been built here at Beach Grove. The last thing that any of us want is to close this church. The last thing that any of us want is to split what we have here as a family, as a body, as a community of Christ. But the moment we stop allowing the Spirit to work is the moment that we forget what truly grounds us and brings us together. It's important for us to acknowledge all that brings us together. The grace, the Spirit, witness. Because if the resurrection of Christ teaches us anything, if it offers us any healing at all, it is that no matter what, in Christ's resurrection, there is still life. I reflected before the service that we have to stop letting the period be the end of the sentence. And instead consider the next sentence that is coming after. How is the Spirit working in through us? What is the newness that God is going to birth through this community? What is the Spirit doing through us for this community? Let the Spirit work.
Cow.
Amen.
Amen.